So when we're thinking about the providence of God, that God looked after us, last time we talked about that after Adam's sin, Jesus came by his sacrifice, obedient, to heal the wounds, the result caused by Adam disobedient. And also last time we mentioned that God the Father told St. Catherine that whenever we serve, there's always the hope for reward. And so a person cannot serve two masters. So we have to serve God. But some people, they will serve the world, expect return from the world, reward from the world, and not to serve God. And so when a person loves creatures, loves the world apart from God, then the person is also closing his heart to the service of God. And so when a person loves God more perfectly and serves Him more perfectly, the person also experiences the providence of God more perfectly. And God looks after us, provides for us both in general and in particular. In general, He gave the prophets in the Old Testament time, but in the New Testament time, He gave us the saints, the martyrs, the confessors, the doctors of the church, to teach us, to inspire us, to give us example, but also sustain the world by the prayers and sacrifice of the saints. That's in general. But in particular, God looked after us in the manner of life that we live and also in the way that we die. And God the Father told St. Catherine that people oftentimes, because they put their trust not in God, but in themselves. So when some bad thing happens, they just blame God, they just get angry, they just don't accept that. But sometimes God allows bad things happen in order to help the person to be free from eternal damnation, in order to help the person to become holy. So that's, we're talking about that last time, you know, about the providence of God, that God looking after us, not only in general, but also in particular. And sometimes God allows people to experience troubles in the world so that the person can raise his heart and will above the world and put trust in God. And also sometimes God might allow a person delay in receiving the sacrament, and so by the strong desire, that person can also become more worthy to receive the sacrament. So I told you a few examples of the life of St. Catherine of Siena, that God allowed her to experience delay in receiving the sacrament, and because of those delays, she actually received grace even more. And so we continue that topic of the providence of God. And God provides the spiritual needs of different people in different ways. You think about there are people who need conversion, who are still sinners. There are people who live in the grace of God, but imperfectly. Their charity is not quite perfect. And there are those who are quite perfect already. And for those who are sinners in that need sin, God make use the conscience to wake them up. And sometimes God make the person who determined to do something bad, but God so arranged that the person do not have the occasion, do not have the time, able to fulfill what is the evil desire in the heart. And so not able to carry out their sinful desire, and gradually, you know, they also, because they have interior suffering, because of their sinfulness, that can also, they are being tired of those interior suffering. So on the one hand, they decide to do bad things, God arranged the circumstance that they are not able to do it. On the other hand, God let what caused, because of their sinful desire, those bad in that interior suffering caused by their sinfulness to somehow torment their heart and make their heart so tired that they tire of it, And so finally, that they would actually come to their senses and they would return to God. And also, God in His providence also moved the good people, the servants of God, to pray to God on behalf of the sinners, so that by their constant prayer, by their sighing, lamenting for sinner, they also help the salvation of others. So in God, in His providence, will work on the sinners, but also He work on His own servants to let them pray for sinners. And now there are some who live in the grace of God, but imperfectly. And God make use two kinds of things to help them to grow, become more perfect. One is the struggle with temptations. And the other one is, we can call that special love that also help them to grow and to become more perfect. So let's talk about that, you know, for those who are in the grace of God but not quite perfect, God make use the temptation. They are fighting against temptation to help them to become more perfect. God the Father described our soul is like a city. And the different senses or different faculties are like the gate to the city. And so many of the gates, you know, the devil can actually knock on them and influence them somehow. The devil can influence our memory. The devil can influence our mind. You know, he can suggest bad thoughts to us. He can cause us to have bad dreams. And also, the devil can a lot of time make use of our senses, have a bit of an influence on our senses. But one of the faculties that he cannot have access to is our will. It's our will. So if we do not make the choice to sin, the city is still guarded. But if we use our will to allow the devil to come in, to allow sin to come in, then of course the city can be destroyed, can be conquered. And so when we struggle spiritually with temptation, then we have to make sure our will is saying no to sin. And the God that stands at the gates of the will is free choice. So we can say yes or no when there's any temptation. And so those struggles will help us to grow, become more holy. Because when we, with temptation, sometimes God allow a person experience temptation for a while, and then the person was doing his best, you know, to fight temptation, and then suddenly, by the grace of God, the temptation can be all gone in one moment. And sometimes God let people experience that to know that how weak they are on their own. And they can only be free from sin because the grace of God have been sustaining them, have been supporting them. And so to know not to rely on oneself, but to rely on the grace of God. Now, another way that God the Father say that, He say that it's a holy trick that He make on people to help people to love Him, is that God permit people to have to conceive a special love for certain people beyond a general spiritual love. You know, we of course should love people generally, in charity. But sometimes God allow us to be particularly friendly, you know, with some people more than other people, have some particular love, as God the Father Himself told St. Catherine, even in heaven. There is the general love among all the saints in heaven, but there can be also particular love in heaven. And the particular love we have here on earth continue in heaven. And so God said that, you know, He allows, sometimes He makes the soul conceive a special love for certain people beyond a general spiritual love in order to raise the soul up from imperfection. Because when it is a spiritual love, it's a special spiritual love, is a well-ordered love helps the person to also chase out other disordered love for creatures and also to help the person to practice virtues. In our In our in the parish church, we are actually watching a series of DVDs on friendship. And in that DVD, it was mentioned about, you know, that a friendship that based on pleasure or utility, but also there's friendship that are based on virtues. And so when it is a spiritual friendship, it's based on virtues, and it's something, you know, and oftentimes for those friendships to develop, there must be the practice of virtues. And sometimes God allow good friendship to have so that people can practice virtues. So it's a good way to help people to become holy. But also, when people have special love, it's a good test of whether or not a soul loves God and others perfectly. Because God the Father pointed out to St. Catherine, if you love the people who are dear to you imperfectly, you are also loving God imperfectly. But if you love people who are dear to you perfectly, you also love God perfectly. And so God the Father explained to St. Catherine, whenever the soul loves someone with a special love, she feels pain when the pleasure or comfort or companionship she has become accustomed to, or which gave her great consolation, is lessened. Or she suffers if she sees that person keeping more company with someone else than with her. This pain makes her enter into knowledge of herself, and if she is willing to walk wisely in the light as she ought, she will come to love that special person more perfectly, for with self-knowledge and the contempt she has conceived for her selfish feelings, she will cast off imperfection and come to perfection. So basically, you know, when we see ourselves, you know, sometimes in our love for others, it can be a bit selfish when we feel, oh, the person seems not to love me the way the person ought to. You know, I give so much and return so little to me. I feel upset. Mm-hmm. You know, or sometimes you find that, you know, the companionship, you know, you find that you are deprived of the companionship, of comfort of your friend, and you feel upset, you know, I'm mad, you know, then it's also a sign of imperfection. And then if you see your friend have other friends, you know, I'm jealous, so it also is a sign of imperfection. So those are the signs that God the Father told St. Catherine to watch out, you know, if you feel like with your special friend, you feel like that means you are still imperfect. So it's an indication, okay, I'm imperfect, so that means I have to grow into perfection even more. So it's an indication, you know, that when we look at our own relationship with people that are dear to us, then we also, in a way, we see how we are with God. Because oftentimes, the way we love others is also the way we love God. If we have self-seeking in loving others, we also have self-seeking when loving God. So that's the whole point God the Father tells St. Catherine. So for people who are in charity but not quite perfect, God let those people struggle with temptation on the one hand. On the other hand, they also let them experience special love in friendship so that they can grow to become holy. And then for those who are more perfect, basically, even though you are perfect, you can always be more perfect, right? Well, as long as you are on earth. So God the Father told St. Catherine, as long as you are alive, you can still grow in perfection and merit. That is why I purge them of every selfish and disordered love, whether temporal or spiritual, and prune them by means of many trials, so that they may produce more and better fruit. It's just like the gospel we heard yesterday at Mass. Of course, if you go to the Holy Family, it's not the same gospel. If you go to the other church, you know, that it's the gospel we heard yesterday, that God the Father pruned the branches. I think you might know that image, you know, and a plant. Some gardener, they know that. I don't know how they know that, but they know that. You know, some of the branches, they see the branches, they know they will grow more fruit. They can bear more fruit. And some branches, they know they will not. So when a gardener, how they prune is that they will cut up those he know that will not bear fruit. They just cut up those branches. And so the energy of the plant can focus on the branches that will bear fruit. That's how the whole things work. So you cut up those who are useless, and then so who are those that are useful, they focus the energy on the useful one, and they will bear even more fruit. And so in our daily life, you know, there can be things that we are too attached to that are quite useless, actually. You know, we can spend time into things that can be pretty useless. And so God the Father sometimes allow us to have some crosses and suffering so that, you know, by those suffering, we can gradually let go of the thing that actually quite useless, but we're too attached to, so that we can focus our energy into things that are more helpful and useful. And so that's pruning is about. It's an image of suffering, of trials, to help us, our soul, to be more focused on what is really important. So that's about God's providence for the different people, huh, in the different stages in spiritual life, huh? Some who are in deadly sin, that God make use of their conscience, their interior suffering to wake them up. Also make use of his servant to pray for them, make sacrifice for them. For those who are imperfect in love, God make use of trials, but also of special love to help them to raise higher in perfection. And those who are perfect, God is always more room for perfection. God continue to purify their love and also continue to give them suffering so that they can be more fruitful. Now, of course, we not only should grow ourselves in the spiritual life, we should also help others to become holy. We should be working together for the salvation of souls. So when we pray together, you know, divine mercy, like we should pray for the salvation of souls. We are catching souls together. Now, when God the Father mentioned to St. Kathleen that, you know, the effectiveness of our receiving the sacrament and also of catching souls depends on what is inside our heart. You know, for example, about the sacrament, God the Father mentioned the wicked receive it to the lessening of grace within them. The imperfect are brought to perfection, and the perfection of the perfect is made to growth. Because they are prepared to grow, the perfect one are prepared to grow. And I want to make of them good and perfect mediators for those who are at war with me. Because of God make use of his servants and their great suffering to be merciful to the world and to reform the church. So, those who receive the sacrament, if a person received the sacrament with mortal sin, somebody with mortal sin, don't go to confession, still go to communion, doesn't do the person any good. It's only lessening the grace, even less grace. A person who is imperfect by means of the sacrament can grow to become more perfect. And those who are perfect can even become more perfect because they prepare to grow. Now, but also for us to catch souls, we need to have that right disposition. And God the Father mentioned about different scenes in the Gospel about the apostle catching fish. You know, when Jesus first called the apostle, you know, they were catching fish at nighttime, and Jesus told them to cast their net. And there were so many fish, they had to call their partners to help them. That one Gospel scene. Another one, after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus appeared at the lake. I think there were 7 disciples were there. They caught fish during the night, couldn't catch anything. But now it's daybreak. And so Jesus told them, you know, to cast the net at the right side. And they caught so many fish. And so those two Gospels. So the first one, about calling others to help them. And so God the Father said, the weight of these souls they have caught in the net of holy desire seems so great to them that they call for company and would have everyone help them because in humility they consider themselves inadequate. So it's when we are doing apostolic work, we never can do it alone. We always need the help of other people. So to help to catch souls. That's why people pray for priests, you know, important big sacrifice. By the way, today is the feast of Blessed Mary Leone. She is actually a nun who actually started a religious order of nuns called the Sisters of Holy Family, and that community is to look after priests. So what did they do? You know, they actually do housework for priests. They would do secretary work for priests, different kinds of work, and so it's helping. You know, the priest cannot do everything on his own. So it's a religious order of women who help priests. So it's and also God the Father mentioned that God in His providence, He does not give to anyone enough knowledge to do everything on his own. You know, God will create somebody like a super woman, Melissa, you know, like you can do everything, you know, from cooking to laundry and cleaning and everything, administration, you know, a super woman, you know, everything, music, piano, you know, and computer, and accounting, yeah, everything. But God give us some little limited thing, you know, a cook and what?
Cook, knit, and play guitar.
You know, so sometimes our talent can be more limited, because that means we are bound to other people. We have to rely on other people. So basically, God the Father said that we are bound to exercise charity because we are not sufficient. So in this motto lies, so long as you are pilgrims, I have bound you with the chain of charity, whether you want it or not. You are so bound. If you should break loose by not wanting to live in charity for your neighbors, you will still be bound by it by force. Because by necessity, you have to ask for help, right? So that necessity is some kind, is a force that causes, that force you to reach out to other people. You cannot just say, I am so self-sufficient, I don't need anybody. I'm by myself. Get out of here. I want later or sooner you to get help for something that you cannot do on your own. So God in this world, He's so organized, He's so arranged things that we just need other people. We cannot do it on our own. In natural light, we cannot do it on our own. In the spiritual light, we cannot do it on our own. The ministry of the priest has to need to be sustained by the prayer of the people, you know, and then also the people need the priest to help them to make to heaven. So we do need the help of one another. So he mentioned about, you know, the clergymen, the religious need the lay people also need the religious and to help them to achieve eternal salvation. So we just need one another. And then God the Father mentioned about, you know, getting others to help. I just want to read that quotation from what God the Father said to St. Catherine. When they pour in the net, they take them in great number. They take them in great numbers. Even though many escape from the net because of their sins and are not caught, the net of desire has certainly been held out to all. Because the soul who is hungry for my honor is never content with a fraction, but wants them all. She asks the good to help her to get the fishes into her net, so that they may be preserved and become more perfect. She would have the bad become good, the darksome unbelievers she would have turned to the light of holy baptism. She wants them all, whatever their condition, because she sees them all in me, created by my goodness, in such burning love, and redeemed by the blood of my only begotten Son, Christ crucified. So that image, you know, to catch the fish, that catching is to catch everybody, the desire for the salvation of all, that desire that all can grow in love for God. And then fun is not enough to do it on my own, but to get as many people to do it together. And I think it's that, you know, when we pray together, that's a good image, you know, that actually we come together to pray for sinners, for the conversion of souls. And then another image I mentioned is about the resurrection, huh? When Jesus appeared to the disciples at the lake. And so they obey, they obey Christ to cast the net, not on the left, but on the right, not during the night, but during the daytime. And there's some symbol there, you know, the left hand is symbolizing selfishness. Selfishness is dead in them. The right side is a symbol alive with a true, sincere, gentle, and divine love. So there's a symbol between the left and the right. Nighttime is a symbol of the darksome night of deadly sin, when the soul is lacking the light of grace. And then the daybreak is the leaving behind of sin and returning to grace. And also God the Father talking about, we know when we cast the net, some cast the net more perfect than the other. Some can catch more fish than the other. And he mentioned that, you know, there are some who really obey Christ by keeping the commandments. And then also they keep the counsels. Huh? The counsel, of course, some people, they practice the counsel like poverty in action. They actually become poor themselves for love of Christ. Some in spirit, they become poor in spirit. So they have a detachment of the material things. But for those who actually become poor, literally, they cast the net more perfectly than those who would, yes, keep the commandment, but keep the counsel only in spirit. It's good to keep the counsel in spirit. It's better for those who actually become poor. So they cast, those who actually keep the counsel literally, they cast the net more perfectly. And then, but also God the Father say, if a person who don't keep the counsel at all, not in spirit, not even in spirit, he say it's impossible for that person to keep the commandments. Because the commandments and the counsels, they are so linked together. So even though lay people doesn't take the vow of chastity, poverty, obedience, but in spirit, they should practice those virtues in the degree that's suitable for their state of life. So that would be the to practice the counsel in spirit. He mentioned about poverty, which will be our major topic next time. He talked about poverty quite a bit at the end of that session on divine providence. That when we practice poverty in spirit, that means we see the thing that we own as something that lent to us by God. And then we do our best, you know, really not to have too much attachment on them. So we'll talk about more about that next time. And then he mentioned that one's catch will be as perfect as one's catch will be as perfect as one's cast. But those who are perfect catch plenty and with great perfection. And sometimes I don't even remember what I wrote. Yeah. Sometimes when I do the article, it's at nighttime and I'm tired. I just I try to put things together. Into around 600 words. Yeah. I do have an idea. So I do know two articles. One is about the different spiritual need, people in different stage, different help to become more perfect or even just to turn away from sin. But also when we reach out to other people, we see those two images of the gospel. One is that desire to cast the net, but also we need the help of other people. We cannot be just self-sufficient. And then the other one is that that the catching of the net at daylight to follow the gospel, the light of grace, turn away from sin, and also the right side of virtues. Of I think that's mentioned about the right side is a symbol of true, sincere, gentle, and divine love. And so it's always important for us to have that desire to grow, to become holy, and knowing that sometimes God makes use of circumstance in our life. Sometimes He plays holy trick on us, you know, so that we can become more holy and love Him more. and also have that desire to catch souls together, to work together for the salvation of others, sometimes by our work and action, but oftentimes by our praying together for sinners and united in prayer, the Rosary, Divine Mercy, and it's a good way to catch souls together.